First Chronicles chapter 15. Last week we looked at the first attempt to move the ark and how terribly that went. It ended costing a man his life. They used a cart. The cart began to shift and rattle. Why? Because, well, it's a cart. And also they weren't supposed to travel that way with the ark. God laid out a specific way for them to travel. They abused that. They found a more Philistinian way to move it. It was the Philistines that had moved it before in a brand new cart. And oh, they were so proud of it. But that's not the way that was supposed to go. And God, He has set some things up to be holy, to be completely sanctified to the point to where He will drop a man for messing with it. The priests had bells on their hems, for if they were to go in and profane the Holy of Holies in one way or the other, they would be killed. They would die. That's how seriously God took things. Nowadays, we've become quite soft on certain things. We look at our criminals here in America today. We've grown quite soft towards them. Not saying that there's ever an appropriate time to beat on a person or be cruel to a person just because they committed a crime. But there are things that we used to kill people for, and we don't anymore. And now those problems have gotten worse. We've sat there, well, you know, you got to consider how they grew up. We got to consider extenuating circumstances. Hey, listen, there are no extenuating circumstances that make robbing a bank and shooting the teller okay. Right? There are no extenuating circumstances that make assault of any kind. And I think you know why I'm putting the emphasis there. There's no reason, there's no extenuating circumstances for that. My personal opinion, if you've harmed a child or a woman in that way, or even a man in that way, you deserve, and there's zero doubt that it was you deserve to be put to death. That's just my opinion. I think that people would be a lot more cautious about things if they knew it would cost them their lives. Be a lot more cautious. We look at these school shooters. You look at the community online for people that go in and shoot up schools. They're talking about their body count. They're talking about serial killer this and how big they can get it. And that's weird, isn't it? That's weird. What if instead of committing them to psychiatric care, what if we killed them? Amen. And I would love to sit there and say, hey, give them space to repent. But flat out honestly, I'll give them the gospel 100 times on the way to the chair. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And we sit there, we talk about what we need less guns. You're not going to stop people from murdering people with less guns. You take the guns away, they'll use the knives. You take the knives away, they'll use other things. There will be sharp things. Let's go to any prison in the world where they're not allowed to have those things. They're still killing each other. They find ways to do it. We must deal with the heart. And there must be a certain fear to touch things that God says don't touch. There should be fear. I was reading this thing as I was studying, and it was just one of the most pathetic, weak-willed Christian arguments I've ever read. Talking about how tough it could be in the Old Testament. A God who had a God who had little patience with people that He would kill them for this. Almost as though they were looking down their nose at God. Listen, God has that right. And we become too comfortable when things don't cost us things anymore. We become too comfortable. And that's exactly where we are. So as we look at this, we must look at ourselves. And I drew that parallel last week. When we as a church, when we as Christians don't treat things that God has given us properly, we can only expect catastrophe. And that's exactly what we get so often, right? Why is it that we see so much abuse in some churches? Because they're not following God's will. Not just that because they're not doing this and that properly, God sent them some heathens. Not that. We should have dealt with the heathens or should deal with heathens as we see them. We should deal with ungodly behavior in the church. Not just the kind that help us to feel good about ourselves, but all level of ungodliness. We should address those things. Why? Because this is not my church. This is not your church. This is the Lord's church. This is His congregation bearing His name. We ought to spruce it up a little bit. I'm not talking about hanging new this and painting that. I'm talking about the way we behave. Void of the building, how we behave. And oh my, we see such embarrassment and such disappointment in real churches. Why? Because they're not doing what God told them to do. Verse 1 of chapter 15, and David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. I stopped right there and I go, well, what was their plan the first time? Where were they going to put the ark? Where was it going to go? We don't see David having done this before. But now after Uzzah loses his life, now we're going to prepare the tent. Now we're going to prepare a place. Verse 2, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Now, David, where were you on that? Could you imagine you sitting there? He goes, well, you know, that's really a bummer thing that God did to Uzzah. Yeah, that's just terrible. But you know what we ought to have done? Don't you get frustrated when you do something and you know better than to do that? Especially when the cost on that is high. That should embarrass us a little bit. It should make us feel bad a little bit. I knew better. I did what I wanted anyway. Should embarrass us. Should make us feel a little bit of shame there. And I said that I'm not trying to pick on David because we're all there, but we need to look at that for a second. David knew the whole time. And even if he didn't know the whole time and he had to look up, he had access to it the whole time. If he didn't know, at the very least, he is guilty of having killed a man because he was too much of a man to look up the instructions. Could you imagine that? You put something together on your own guessing and, I've built these things like this before, so and you build this thing and somebody falls off of it and gets hurt or dies. We see that stuff on the television. Remember back that roller coaster? Somebody had a video of that. It was just it would come free of one of its supports, and the guy's got it on video. As the roller coaster goes by, it goes whee, and then comes back to the support. Could you imagine being the ride inspector going, oh yeah, missed that one? I'm just trying to put myself in David's mindset because we can do damage to the church if we are not following God's will for it. We can do damage to our Christian lives if we don't follow God's directions for it. We could break it. When I was a little kid, you'd probably believe this. If ever I got the ability to purchase a toy or my mom and dad bought a toy for me, I would open it in the car. Would not wait. If mom and dad were afraid of me losing the pieces or something like that, they would put it in the trunk knowing that if my little fingers could reach it, I would, and I would open it and it would be little plastic confetti all over the back seat, right? And I'd be sitting there playing with it and messing with it in the car. I would not wait. Listen, if we're not careful and we're not following the instructions on things, we'd break it. Guess how many things I broke in the back of that car because I didn't wait for mom and dad to help me put it together? How many things got lost because I didn't follow the instructions? Because me as a child, and sometimes, yes, even now as an adult, gets too excited about something. And by not following the instructions, I ruin it entirely. We can't do that with our spiritual lives. We can't do that with the Lord's church. We must be obedient, not for the sake of being able to say, well, look how great we are, but so that we don't ruin things. You know how many good churches are out there with a ruined name because they refused to handle sin when it was small? You know how many churches out there just like us that have caused complete catastrophes in people's lives because they refused to handle things God's way? How many churches have split or been dissolved entirely because people wouldn't handle conflict the way God said to handle conflict? How many have apostatized entirely because they did not keep holy the things that God said were holy? We cannot be like David and be like, you know, on second thought, because there's going to be things that happen within and around a church you don't get to have a second thought for. Once the damage is done, there's no going back. I want to imagine David having to look at his wife and his family in the eyes right after they're like, all right, well, this time we're going to go and we're going to go do it right. We ought to do things right the first time and every time. Why? Because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. So many people, they treat the Lord's house and the things that belong to the Lord like a rental car. I heard somebody telling that joke one time. You know, I spent so such and such amount of money to rent a car today. And just for today, it's a good price. But for 15, 16 bucks more, I could wreck it. That's the way a lot of people do it. Well, I'll get in there, I'll gossip. I'll get in there, I'll do things a person ought not be doing. I'll say things a person ought not be saying. I'll behave in a poor way. I don't care who I hurt. I don't care what I do, as long as my desires are being met. And then once trouble starts, what do? They turn it in, they go to another church. That's what they do. Why do you see so much church hopping around? It's a rent-a-church. I'm going to commit to it for a certain period of time. I'm going to act a fool while I'm there. And then I'm going to bounce to the next one and say, you know what, I'm so glad that was just a rental. That's what they do. Well, there's something wrong with that church and something wrong with that church. They visit seven or eight churches, never quite realizing that the problem is them and it's between them and the Lord. We need to take these things seriously. Verse number 3, and David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. Now we're going to skip down a little bit because he goes through the selection of people of the Levites. Verse 12, and he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Want to know why we've got issues among the things that God has given us? Because we're not sanctified. We're out there playing in dirty things. We're out there entertaining ourselves in wrong ways. We've got sin in our lives. And then we come into church and we start touching God's stuff. It's a problem. Anybody here? I mean, we're talking about Thanksgivings. Maybe you are the relatives. But I used to have, you know, my great-grandmother, my Grammy. We used to go to her house. Not for Thanksgiving. We'd go the day after or whatever. But in her house, she had these curio cabinets. And you were not allowed to touch the curio cabinets. And to me, what a lot of churches are doing is we're at home dirtying up our lives, perverting our minds, giving into fleshly desires, and then we come in and we just start touching God's stuff with it. I'm going to go in, I'm going to be a Sunday school teacher, but I was watching this on the internet last night. I'm going to go in and I'm going to work with the music industry. I'm going to work with the industry, but I'm going to work with the music ministry. But I've got nothing but perverted, dirty songs on my playlists. We get dirty fingers and we're touching the things that belong to God. And we as members, we come into the church with maybe no real responsibility that we can sit there and say, and we still have dirty hands and we're wondering why. The churches are struggling. What would you do if everybody came tomorrow with muddy boots, muddy fingers, came into your house and stomped into every room, touched every little thing you held precious, and dirtied it up? You'd be upset about that, wouldn't you? Well, I guess it depends on how young. I think I got a couple kids that could do that and they'd get away with it. We can't get away with it with God. We can't. He says, first sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. What does that mean? Get the worldliness, get the carnality out. They had particular steps they had to follow before they could go near the ark. And David's saying, follow them. Get yourself right. Get yourself together. Continuing our reading, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. For that we sought him not after the due order. There's David. I like how David, man, he can be wrong, but he knows exactly what he did wrong. I like people that when they do wrong, they know what they did. You know what drives me nuts? When people do wrong and they have no idea what they did wrong. I imagine taking it to like a traffic stop. Do you know why I pulled you over? No. Well, I clocked you going 170. No. Some folks, they're really good at that. They pretend like they don't know what they did wrong. And I've never met too many people who could do wrong and not know what they did once it's presented to them. David was good. We didn't ask God the first time, so we're going to do this right. We didn't seek the Lord. We didn't have the Levites go do the business. We just did what the Philistines did. We did what was convenient for us. We did what was easy. Listen, the things that God commands for us, as we know from Scripture, they're not grievous things. They're not difficult things. Sometimes there'll be a little bit more work than carnal things, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Why do we keep the music the way that we do? Because it's worth it. Look at those verses that we sang this afternoon. Those are worth it to be able to say to the Lord versus some of the stuff you see in these franchises today. There are songs more about the singer than they are about the Savior. I'm all for expressing our gratitude and talking about what God means to us. Absolutely. But when the song is more about the singer than it is the Savior, we got a problem. When we sit there and it's more about what people want than what God says to do, we have a problem. And when problems come in, people will get hurt. And that's exactly what happened to Uzzah. That's exactly what happens to a lot of people that go to churches that don't honor God. They end up getting hurt. Because the leadership, the deacons, the members turned a blind eye to wickedness. And they allowed things to happen. Well, how did that happen with the finances? How did we not notice that that much was gone? How did we not notice the pastor and the secretary? How did we not notice these things? Because you didn't honor God. You didn't consult God. You think of some of these modern day churches today. Look at the problems they have. Could you imagine being in a business meeting in some of these big mega churches today when they're talking about some of the stuff? Well, how's everything going in the church? Well, we're having a small problem over there with Sunday school. What's going on with Sunday school? Well, you know how we kind of open it up for almost anybody who wants to be a Sunday school teacher to be a Sunday school teacher? Well, we've got problems with people arguing. What are people arguing over? What turn to go in? One teacher will teach a lesson, and then like the next Sunday, the same teacher, a different teacher will get up and teach the same lesson. So now the second teacher's mad at the first teacher for stealing their lesson, and the first teacher thinks the other one just ripped her off because they're lazy and they're arguing back and forth. And now that whole thing with volunteers, getting volunteers to do it, now nobody wants to volunteer anymore because they've labeled it a very toxic thing. That's not how that's supposed to go at all. I heard a story today. I thought that was pretty good. There's this lady who took her kids out of one church because she would drop her kids off, and her five-year-old, when it came down to sitting in the sermon, wouldn't sit calmly all by itself. It began to cry and get upset and be difficult to deal with. Now, I want to remind you what I said. Drops the kids off. Drops them off. So what they did is they got tired of having to come halfway through the church services to pick their five-year-old up and then come back later to pick the rest of the kids up. Now that's a problem, isn't it? Well, let's see, how do we solve this problem? A lot of people sit there and say, well, we need a daycare, we need a this, we need a that, we need a... There's a very simple solution. Mom, Dad, go to the church. Don't just drop, well, it's good for kids to have religion. Your kid's not having religion. Your kid's having a meltdown. You abandon them among a bunch of strangers and your five-year-old's crying. Which, by the way, perfectly normal five-year-old behavior. Right? No mom, no dad, just me in a pew. Of course that's going to happen. Simple solutions, but that's not what we do. What do we need? We need a place to shove the children. We need to turn on the cartoons. We need to turn on the video games. We need the church to raise money to buy tablets for all the kids waiting for their parents to come out of the church. Be careful. Is that the way it's supposed to go? That's not the way it's supposed to go. Not the way it's supposed to go. You know, what about, what's going on with the money? Well, you won't believe this. But you know the treasurer's board that we have? Yeah, 3 out of 9 of them were embezzling. Well, how did 3 of them get away with embezzling money without the other 9? Well, the 9, we just kind of, well, some of them are just given honorary titles because they donate so much to the church. We just gave them a title because we wanted them to feel respected. We didn't want them to go anywhere, so they don't actually go into the office. They're just kind of, you know, they get to come to the meetings, and then when we honor the staff, they get to come up, and that's what we were doing. Oh. Well, okay, well, where's the senior pastor? Well, you know how we hired a rock star preacher, and he's good looking, and he's very charismatic? Yeah, we remember. He got himself a girlfriend, and his wife seemed pretty mad about it. And now we got to make a decision whether or not we're going to fire him, or what we're going to do, or just kind of pay everybody off and hope the scandal doesn't come to us, right? We hear this, right? Okay, well, what about the youth? What about the youth pastor? Surely the youth pastor has got it together. Well, you see about that. We've been getting complaints about the youth pastor meeting alone with some teen girls. And apparently some of them were uncomfortable with that. They've made some other allegations. We're trying to give some money to the family to quiet it down. We just don't know what's going to happen. We just hired him, didn't we? Yeah, we got him away from, you know, we got him away from Southwest Point. Oh, man. What a terrible thing. If you're not doing things the way it's supposed to be done, we cannot be surprised when terrible things happen. Did you hear about that? Another one of these rap musicians talking about disrespecting women in his music. Turns out he was disrespecting women in real life. I had to sit down. I was shocked. Bible says a man ought not to touch a woman. Under the context of a woman he's not married to. He ought not to. We need to put that back into the churches. Well, what's the difference? You know, if you're not allowed to touch them, you know, but you say you don't even want to be alone in the room with the opposite sex all by yourself. Yeah. Yep, because that's where I draw the line. You feel safe, I feel safe. That's the way it should go. There should never be a lady comes up to this church, feels uncomfortable that I'm here. You send me a text, I'll go. I can work from anywhere. Give me an excuse to go to a coffee shop. Right? I live 2 miles away. I'll go home. And you know what? Because I only live 2 miles away, I'll come back when you're done if I got to come back when you're done. You shouldn't feel uncomfortable. I shouldn't feel uncomfortable. Everybody happy. Right? You've got this man leading some of the teens and you make sure that there's always somebody else in the classroom. What's the deal with that? Do you not trust the guy you put there? Here's the wonderful thing. You set it up so I don't have to trust anybody. I have to. You create a scenario where they can't if they wanted to. One of the things that we did, and I know I've talked about this, we got the camera facing down right on me in there. You ever see another car pull up here and there's any allegation on me, you know exactly what you can do. You'll pull open those cameras, you see what I did. Well, she pulled up over here, and then he disappeared. And he was gone for 2 hours. And then all of a sudden he came back on the camera and she took off and she left. That's suspicious. You can talk about that, right? That's uncomfortable. Anybody here uncomfortable? I'm sweating. But it's what we created. Why? Because this is God's house. No shenanigans here. No tomfoolery. No people getting hurt. No sin should be happening in here. And you sit there, you look into the camera, and, well, she made this allegation against our pastor on such and such a day. All right, well, let's go back to the logs. What was he doing? Okay, well, there he is. He's drawing on his sermon paper again. He's vacuumed half the floor. Nope, now he's on the cell phone talking to somebody. And he's completely abandoned vacuuming the rest. You'd be able to watch that. Right? We create a scenario where it should be near impossible for that to happen. And if it does, we got you. Shouldn't be that way. But this is the Lord's house. It's what we ought to do. You know, why do we have the rules that we have? To respect the things of God. Now, what happens? We know what happens if you don't. People will get hurt. Bad things will happen. Not because of karma, not because God's going to sit there and crack the whip at every little thing. God's got a long patience. Sometimes He'll make you wait to pay for stuff. No, we need to be concerned about it. Why? Because not obeying God not only incurs His wrath, but it opens the door to more problems. And you had me sold at incurring God's wrath. It opens the door to problems. Well, if the church was handling conflict like this, why was there a big knockout, drag-out brawl in the middle of a business meeting? Well, you see, so-and-so stood and let's handle things God's way. Now listen, we're talking about things each and every one of us have struggled with. I'm not pointing out to a single thing that's happened in my past nor yours. But the fact of the matter is, if we don't handle things biblically, unbiblical things will happen. That's how the devil works. Every opportunity he gets, he will take. But what happens when we do things God's way? Right? Let's skip ahead a little bit. Not verse 12. We've already been past that. Verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. God helped them. When the poles were run through the rungs, and we carried it upon our shoulders, and we consulted God first, He helped us to do it. I've seen churches struggle, and there's secret sin, or there's open sin. And they sit there and they go, but how should that affect our finances? How should that affect our attendance? How should that affect the spirit of the church? Of course it does. You bring sin into something, it affects everything. And I've seen this church as we've done things. Not that we're perfect. We're not perfect. But I've seen us do things, and financially the Lord has helped in things. We put Him first in things. And either He's blessed in your lives privately, or He's put something into your heart to give more. But there's the solution so very often. Right? Well, brother, that's not the Lord. That's us opening up the wallet. Well, who put things in your wallet? You think that's you? You know how many billionaires drop out of their money overnight? And you think the paper in your wallet was put there because you put it there? Oh, no. He could give. He could take away. He could even prosper the lives of people with very little of it. They'll find happiness. They'll find, hey, I've got this, and the Lord provided that. He will help you. But when you're disobedient to Him, don't expect Him to give you a hand. He is not going to be complicit in your disobedience. He's not going to help you disobey Him. He's not going to bless the labors of your hands when you disobey Him. But they're sitting there, all of a sudden we got these. I don't know how heavy the ark would be in today's measurements. But man, could you imagine just walking that far? That thing on them? And what's the Lord doing? Giving them strength. Giving them ability. We were talking about this on Sunday, getting a deer. I think it was Brother Dennis telling me about this. And when you sit there, you get a deer and you drag one for a while. You got to carry it on out of there. That's tough, isn't it? But you got the adrenaline pumping, you're all excited, so it doesn't, you know, it's a little bit better. Could you imagine dragging that ark as far as they had to do on their backs? God giving them strength every step of the way. So much so that they were able to recognize it in order to document it. And they were so grateful that they ended up breaking out a sacrifice, a very large sacrifice. When was the last time you acknowledged how blessed you were? To the point where you counted up all the resources God has given you one way or the other. Well, He hasn't given me millions. Yeah, but does He find a way to get food into the house? Well, you know, our car is not great. Yeah, but did you get there? You know, anybody here, your car's a little wonky? The older a car gets, the more comfortable you've got to get with stuff and the louder your radio goes. Like the van doesn't have a radio. Not a big deal, is it? Because you want to know why? You get in the car and you go, and it goes there. It's wonderful, right? My father-in-law, didn't matter what car he bought, he still had the roll-down window just up to this last truck, I think. Still had that roll-down window, that manual roll-down window. Why? Because he didn't want to pay extra for the electric. Yeah, just whatever, man. Does it get you there? Does it go? Anybody here, you don't have air conditioning in your car? I got a car that the air conditioning doesn't work, but it's got a sunroof. I have so much fun with that. Kids, that's real nice driving down the freeway. That's kind of fun. You almost kind of feel like you're in one of those sporty cars. You know? Does it do it? Does it do what it's supposed to? Man, they're out there. They got the $700 pair of shoes. And what do they do with those $700 pair of shoes? They put it on their wall. Well, couldn't you just print out a picture of the shoe? You know, if you just wanted to look at it, print it out. Well, so other than that, if they wear it, what are they doing? They're putting it in the same dirt you're putting your $20 shoes in. It's your shoes. People, man, they'll buy fancy versions of things just to collect them. Makes no sense to me. All these seven, eight, they have shoes for thousands of dollars. I'm like, what's different about those shoes? Oh, well, you see, they were limited run. We only made so many of them. Listen, man, that's great, but I need to walk from here to there without catching a rock. You know, that's it for me. I need to make sure that, you know, some of us, we need different kinds of shoes, I'm sure. That you just need it to do what it's got to do. It doesn't have to be able to make you pretend you can play basketball again. It doesn't. You don't have to pretend that it's going to make you run faster than anybody else anymore. You just need it to get you to go somewhere. We need to be thankful for God's help in our lives. Because I've met people who have every resource, but the resources weren't fancy enough. I've met people who have every resource, but they wish they had it the way other people had it. According to, and there's other people out there, I would say, that would look over at what those people have and say, I wish I had that. Right? What was that story? There was a guy who, his car used to be red, but because of sun damage and things like that, there was a pink car. It slowly became pink. And he was very self-conscious about his great big pink car. And as he was driving by, he saw a guy on a bicycle. And he says, man, at least I'm not riding a bicycle. Made himself feel a little bit better. And the guy on the bicycle saw the guy in the car, and he goes, man, I wish I had a car. Hate driving this bicycle all over the place. And just as that was going on, he was passing a guy walking. And the guy walking goes, wish I had a bike. And the guy on the bicycle goes, well, at least I'm not walking. And the guy walking looked over, saw a man in a wheelchair. He says, well, at least I can walk and I'm not in a wheelchair. Right. And you cut over to the guy in the wheelchair, and he's looking out in the street, and he sees that car go by. He goes, what a stupid pink looking car. It's all relative, isn't it? If you have what you need, be grateful. If you have more, be grateful for that. And most likely, if you're looking at what you have, you'll find you had more than you thought you had. When we do things God's way, there is an ease to our lives. There's an ease to it. Why? Because we know we don't have to worry about things. Right? Well, what happens if this happens in the church? What happens if that happens in the church? What happens if this happens in my spiritual life? Or that happens in my spirit? Listen, you prepare. You're gonna diminish the possibility of that. And then if it happens anyway, God will be there to help you. You do things your own way, you don't have to worry about bad things happening. They will. They will. I knew a guy one time, he thought it was funny to spin out his tires all the time. You know those kids? And he would drive on. One day, he got a flat tire. Called me for help. Because I can't believe this happened. Can't believe this happened. He's a, that's exactly what you do to cause that to happen, right? And there's ways for that to happen on its own, but you literally asked for it. Yeah? you disobey God, you're asking for it. Don't be surprised. Oh, what a shocking turn of events. I sinned, and it opened the door for more sin. But a lot of folks, they don't think that way. They never put two and two together. They just sit there and they get mad at people and mad at circumstances and sometimes even mad at God. But when we obey Him, when we do things His way, there is an ease. There's blessings that go along with it. God blesses things. We compare things. Hey, listen, I'm not that talented. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. But you obey God faithfully in what it is that you're doing. And all of a sudden, God starts dumping all those blessings. Well, how could God bless something so small? That's exactly what He does, man. It's exactly what He does. Oh, we're just a little church in Mount Morris. There's not much that we can be able to do to stand against this world. Listen, man, we're just looking for the elect. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to obey God in what we do. What He does after that is up to Him. As they were walking through and they were noticing the ease, and they gave this sacrifice. Let's look over at David in verse 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to it. No, I'm looking at the wrong part again. Sorry. Verse 26. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers and the and Chenaniah, the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. Listen, Memorial Day parades have nothing on what they were doing. 4th of July parades, homecoming parades, couldn't touch this one. There was real joy. I like a parade just as much as anybody, but so often I'm like, oh yeah, fire truck. Oh, screaming children. Okay, now what's up? With horses, oh yeah. Man, the Ark of the Lord coming back. And everybody shouting. And everyone excited. Oh man, that every church ought to be this way on a Sunday morning. Every church ought to be this way when we get together. Hey, it is Sunday morning. It is time to sing His praises. It's time to sing to the Lord together. We're going to be there together as a family unit. The whole church, we're going to get together. We're going to sing His praises, and I'm glad to do it. The problem is some of us get too cold on the Lord. We get too cold. We were excited. We were standing in the back, and last few services, again, Brother Dennis and I are sitting there talking. Man, it just feels hollow. It feels empty to end the services without music, don't it? You know, to start, you know, when we normally start, they're playing the music, and we know, okay, the music's coming. Let's sit down. We're waiting for Brother Mark to come up here, and or in the court, you know. Hearing that music, that's a blessing. Could you believe that it was almost 3 years ago? I let my wife know that she'd be the, you know, she'd help us out with the piano player. Imagine that surprise in her eyes, and the surprise in my eyes when she told me she couldn't play the piano. I think I'm still paying for that one, to be honest with you. It's a blessing, isn't it? Hey, let's go on in there and praise the Lord. And let's strike up the music. Let's play. Let's sing. What song are we singing? Hey, let's get there. Let's sing it. Let's show some excitement in it. Hey, we're going to get together and pray. Let's go to before the throne of God together as brethren and sisters. And let's talk to God. There ought to be some excitement. David was having the time of his life. All of Israel was having the time. They were all excited. Hey, here comes that. Remember back when people were excited when the Olympic torch would pass by? When your country, the Olympic torch would pass by, we'd all get so excited. I haven't heard much about that the last couple Olympics. But man, that used to be a thing. You'd sit there, you'd look up the calendar and where they were supposed to be, see if it was close enough to you to be able to go and see it. Here comes the ark. Far more exciting than the Olympic torch. This isn't the beginning of sports and games and selling of goods and merchandise. This is something that belongs to God, something He gave to us. When we approach the church and the services that we have, there ought to be excitement. There ought to be joy. Verse 29, and it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Now we're going to skip past that. We're going to go back up to David dancing and acting like a fool in the street. You know, there are things that have happened in this church where I've had to control my face. Because I don't know if you... I could be a little bit of a little boy sometimes. You know what I mean? Some of you will come in with some good news, and that's exactly what's going on inside of me. And well, praise the Lord, that's great. That's very exciting. But inside, I'm in the... Oh, that's wonderful! Praise the Lord! Lord, thank you! I'm screaming inside, but outside I'm trying to be your pastor. I'm trying to be an adult. You know, I was telling Brother Bill, hey, I'm very excited, man. I'm very glad this is your last scheduled appointment for radiation, man. That's very, you know what I was doing? Woo! It's an AV my treatment, but hey, that's wonderful. You know how many times y'all have brought to me your concerns and then came back with good news? And I have sat there overjoyed. And not just overjoyed at the victory God has put into your lives, but amazed at the faith you held during the time. That says something to a pastor when you're fighting cancer and your faith don't go nowhere. That says something to me when you're in chronic pain and you can barely move, but you've not lost your faith. I want to scream inside. There are moments I'll hang up the phone and I'll just be so tickled I'll cry. We ought to be glad to see the things that God is doing. And it's okay to be just a little Pentecostal about it inside. Right? I used to sit there in services and I catch some of my kids doing that too. I was just, my feet. You know, even before they could reach the bottom of the, reach the floor, which at Flat Rock they can't do anymore again. If you ever go down to Flat Rock, you sit in those pews, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody under the size of 5'7" can't reach the floor. I'm just singing. You know, what was it? Tim Parton, he was a pianist. They said of him, and he's still kind of like this, that he was a Baptist at heart, but a Pentecostal in feet. You'd see him tapping along doing stuff. Like if he wasn't using the pedals while he was playing the piano, you'd just see him like this. Hey, listen, we ought to be overjoyed. We ought to be overjoyed. You'll sit there and you'll see videos and clippings of the Pentecostals, and they'll open up with a song, and by the second verse of the first song, they're whipping around and they're running all over the place, and we look at that and we go, all right, now. You're putting on a show. That's for you. We understand that. But man, we somebody gets two organs donated to them, and we go, oh, that's very good. That's very good. Praise the Lord. That was very good. Very good. You know? Yeah, so-and-so, you know, that was it, man. The doctor said it was cancer. It could only be cancer. They went in, and it shrank. It's not cancer anymore. When we do things God's way, we can't be surprised when He helps. Well, we had a big concern, so what did we do? We consistently and constantly took it to the Lord in prayer. And then what happened? Wonderful things. Well, that wasn't so wonderful. They died. Yeah, they died and went to heaven. They don't get to see what happens in the next election. Oh, you know... I'm up there running around on a street of gold, man. What a pity party. What a pity party. Oh, that we would sit there and see that when we obey God, we have cause to worship in a way that brings us to great thanksgiving. tomorrow, no doubt, you're going to sit there and you're going to, maybe over your food, you're going to pray, Lord, bless the food. And you're going to find food maybe you don't like. I'm picky. For me, it's stuffing. Stuffing's got to be done one way. One way. I don't like any other. I don't like the stovetop stuff. I don't like it anywhere else. I'll eat it. Oh, that's good. You know, still, oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. But man, the stuff that my grandma makes, she called it Hungarian stuffing. And I love it. You sit down maybe, and I got to be careful because we're going to my wife's family tomorrow, so I got to be careful with what I say, but maybe you sit down and you find the stuffing into your liking, right? You go for a cookie and the bottom of it's burnt. Oh, no. We think, oh, Lord, please, thank you for this food and bless it to our bodies, blah, 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 blah. Hey, listen, the things of this earth will disappoint you. They'll disappoint you, right? But think of how small it is compared to the bigger things in life. You know what I mean? Well, I can't believe they brought so-and-so. I hate seeing so-and-so. You know what the Lord would like you to do for so-and-so? He'd like you to forgive him. He'd like you to be patient and kind and loving. And I'll tell you this, I've done that. There have been people I'm like, I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them. And you know what I did? I had to go through the motions the Lord told me to. Forgive them, love them, be patient with them. Treat them the way I treated you. And you know what? Now I look forward to seeing those folks. You know what I mean? Because when you obey God, he makes things easy. You want to be thankful, truly thankful. Consider what God has done. Do things God's way. And there's going to be very little that's going to frost you over. There's going to be very little you're going to be upset by. Why? Because you see what you have and you are grateful. You see what he has done. And you see how he blesses you when you obey him. And you're overjoyed. We have a group of Christians among us, our kind, real Christians, who are miserable. They're bitter. They fight at every bit. That nothing can make them happy. We need to lay that aside and honor God. Those are fruits of sin. There's sin in the camp somewhere. Didn't we talk about that on Sunday? Malcontented people. You got sin going on. People who are just difficult. Typically it's because they're embarrassed about something in their lives or they're hurt about something and they need to get that right. If we want to joy the way David joyed, we have to do things God's way. There was a big difference, and I'll finish with this. There was a big difference between the first attempt to get the ark and the second one. David ended the first attempt miserable and sad. But when he consulted the Lord, did it the Lord's way, he came in a lot different, didn't he? Our lives will mirror the same if we just obey him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you teach us to be grateful to do things your way. You've taught us, you've instructed us. Lord, we know that there are punishments for disobedience. But Father, help us to look at the ease of life when we do things your way. Father, when we honor you, when we serve you the way we ought to. And Lord, help us to have that joy. Help us to be grateful. And Lord, to rejoice in the things that you've given us. And Father, if we aren't, help us to repent. Show us where we're wrong. So that, Lord, we may serve you and approach you with the same thankful worship that David could. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.